From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we present a previously recorded episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank's guest is Joe Dallas, author of the new book, Christians in a Cancel Culture, Speaking with Truth and Grace in a Hostile World. Here now is Hank Hanegraaff.
And welcome to another edition of Hank Unplugged. This is the podcast that is committed to bringing the most interesting, informative, and inspirational people on the planet directly to your earbuds, and today will be no exception. My guest today, Joe Dallas, he is the Program Director of Genesis Counseling in Tustin, California. This is a Christian counseling service to men who are dealing with sexual addiction, dealing with homosexuality, and other sexual and relational problems. Joe Dallas, he once held the distinction of being listed by OC Weekly as one of Orange County's 50 scariest people. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but he's a member of the American Association of Christian Counselors. He's author of multiple books on human sexualities. We recommend every single one of them. You can find them on the web at equip.org. Let me list just a few of them. Desires in Conflict, The Gay Gospel, The Game Plan, one of my favorites, Speaking of Homosexuality. By the way, the subtitle there is Discussing the Issues with Kindness and Clarity. And then the most recent book, which we'll be discussing today, Christians in a Cancel Culture. Let me just read what I wrote about this book, because this is one of those books that I find absolutely axiomatic for everyone to read, whether you're a Christian or not. What I say about this book is Joe Dallas rightly dubs cancel culture a spreading madness, a virus of twisted thinking. Belief in the normalcy of the male-female sexual union is now being viewed as homophobic. The immutable nature of our assigned sex is considered transphobic, and the value of the unborn, misogynistic. The dam has burst, and it has submerged basic Christian morality and ethics. And yet, characteristically, Joe does not merely curse the darkness. He equips Christians in the art and science of conducting difficult discussions, wielding the Christ-mandated gavel of grace. Whenever I think of Joe Dallas, I think of that gavel of grace. He wields that gavel to perfection. Today's discussion on Hank Unplugged is wide-ranging. We're going to be talking about abortion, homosexuality, race, including critical race theory, transgenderism, and progressive Christianity. Joe, with that as an introduction, I am just delighted to have you back on Hank Unplugged.
Thanks so much. It is great talking with you again, Hank. Always.
Your book is phenomenal. In fact, let me say before I ask you a question about this book that this book is available for anyone who stands shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. You can get a copy on the web at equip.org, simply for standing with us shoulder to shoulder. Get your copy again at equip.org. Joe, why write another book?
I didn't think I would write one like this, Hank, because I didn't think it would be necessary. I think many of us saw the signs coming, the signs of a growing hostility towards the Christian message. But I thought that hostility would be a social issue which would not be converted into restrictive actions or even laws. I thought it would just be an attitude, and that was naive of me. But by the time we got into 2020, we were seeing some pretty disturbing trends. We were seeing the green lighting of violent hostility towards viewpoints that have been traditionally held and even revered in our culture and certainly in our churches. Principles about the nature of salvation, about what does or does not constitute racism, the value of unborn life, normal versus abnormal sexuality, the mutable or immutable nature of the sex we are assigned with, these all became the hot button issues. And if you were on what the culture now decided was the wrong side of these issues, there was a heavier price to pay than simple dislike or contempt. We found that people were making concerted efforts to silence us, and this was particularly true of the cultural powers that be, the powers that be in the social media and in academia and certainly in the news media. And so I realized that what I had experienced as just one little old counselor who tried to help people who wanted to overcome homosexuality and the opposition I got for that on that issue, I now realized was a much broader problem. It was the problem of a very general crusade, a very unreasonable crusade that is committed to converting the infidels. And the infidels in this case are those of us holding traditional viewpoints. Now, when you are running a crusade and you're dealing with infidels, you got to either convert them or you got to silence them. That is what we are facing when we're facing cancel culture. So in a nutshell, that's why I wrote the book.
Are we, in essence, looking at a neutered church today?
Oh, I hope not, Hank. I still hold out hope that there is, well, in fact, I know there is the remnant. There are and always will be those who hold a high view of Scripture and who live out their life in faithfulness to God's will and who are unafraid to give the full counsel of God. That will always be true. But I do think we are seeing a general weakening of the church. It seems to me that a couple of things have happened. One, we have drifted further and further away from a disciplined study of the Word of God. And as a result, I think we're lacking in biblical discernment because you can't have discernment based on a document you're not familiar with. Secondly, I think we have drifted into the mistaken belief that our primary responsibility as churches is to be nice and to be liked. And as a result, I think we are soft-pedaling any truth that the culture may deem offensive, all in the name of winning the culture. And you know what that means, Hank. There's no way to win the culture without truth. You can only appease the culture.
You have a delicious turn of phrase in the book, Chapter 2, titled Of Ravers and Cavers. And I want you to talk about that a little bit from the perspective of people in high positions, leaders of ministries, high position church leaders, they have mega churches and so forth, who are either raving or caving. Talk about what that means and how you can identify with that. In fact, I hope you get into, in answer to this question, how you yourself caved at one point when you're on Joan Rivers' show. I remember doing her show many years ago myself. But you're under the hot lights when she was a megastar at that particular time, and you caved.
I have both caved and raved, which is why I'm quick to say in that chapter, I got a pretty big log in my own eye here, okay? There is no way I'm going to cast the first stone at anybody who caves or anybody who raves. But I have learned the hard way that both of those extremes are unacceptable and ineffective. So a raver is someone who holds the right position but with the wrong attitude. That is basically a pharisaical approach to truth, basically one in which you say what is right, but you do it like Paul said we do when we speak without love, clang, clang, clang. A caver is one who is trying so hard to be a gentleman or to be winsome, that he soft-pedals truth or backs down when he ought to be clear and bold. So I used, for example, back in 1990 when I was a guest on the Joan Rivers show, and as you said, that was when she was, well, I think, at the height of her popularity, and I was asked on to come as someone who represented the traditional Christian viewpoint on homosexuality, and there was a gay couple there who claims to be Christians, and they were there to say that we, in our attempts to help gays repent, we're doing damage to gays. And I mistakenly thought that my main job was to be the bridge builder. Well, I'm all for bridge building. I really am. But when that is such a high priority that we forget, no, our main job is to clarify truth with love, but to clarify it, whether it creates a bridge or not. People will choose whether or not they want the truth to be a bridge or they want it to be a battle cry. That's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to be clear on truth. So once I got there, I felt the hostility from her staff. I felt the hostility from the New York City studio audience. I was the fundamentalist boogeyman. So I felt the discomfort of that. That wasn't quite so bad, but once the interview started, I felt so tongue-tied as I realized, wow, I am having to answer hard questions about how the church has responded to this issue. I want to do my best to show a nice, gentlemanly face and not be accusative or judgmental. And with that as my high priority, I came.
Don't go away. In just a few moments, we'll rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Joe Dallas. If you believe in the authority of Scripture, its relevance to social issues, and the importance of offering a defense for sound doctrine, at some point you will be charged with homophobia, sexism, racism, transphobia, or judgmentalism. How will you respond? Joe Dallas prepares you to stand firmly on the Word of God and stay true to your convictions in his new book, Christians in a Cancel Culture, Speaking with Truth and Grace in a Hostile World. To receive your copy, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition Revised and Updated is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition Revised and Updated is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.
You've based your understanding of today's sensitive social issues on the Bible's truth. Mainstream culture not only sees these issues differently, but calls you bigoted for rejecting views they've deemed self-evident. So how do you witness Christ's love to those who write you off as hateful? Christians in a Cancel Culture by Joe Dallas breaks down how you can speak wisdom about politically charged and personal subjects with equal parts compassion and conviction. This book will prepare you to stay true to the Bible's views on sin, salvation, racism, gender identity, homosexuality, and abortion, while teaching you how you can sustain relationships with those who feel threatened by God's truth. To receive Christians in a Cancel Culture, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org.
let's rejoin Bible Answer Man host Hank Hanegraaff and his guest, Joe Dallas, in their conversation.
Once the interview started, I felt so tongue-tied as I realized I am having to answer hard questions about how the church has responded to this issue. I want to do my best to show a nice, gentlemanly face and not be accusative or judgmental. And with that as my high priority, I caved. I was just too nice. When I should have simply said, guys, what God has declared unclean, we must not declare clean, sort of a reverse of what God said to Peter. But instead, I tried to soft pedal it and say, well, you know, we don't want to judge people. I'm not here to condemn anyone, and I don't believe that homosexuals are all crazy. And so I was basically, instead of just saying this is wrong, which I eventually did, but not very well. So it was not one of my better moments, and that's one of the reasons I put it in the book. I wanted to say, hey, caving is not a new thing. Even poor Peter caved under pressure, and he was under pressure a lot greater than what I was under. But I think we have kind of a mental committee we send things through when we are asked hard questions. And when we overdo that mental committee, when we have too many considerations, when we're trying so hard to weigh every little word we say in light of whether or not it'll be offensive, we don't do well. And that's the bottom line. So like I said, on occasions I've raved and on occasions I've caved. I hope that in the decades since then, I've learned to present a much clearer and more balanced message. But on the one hand, I won't throw rocks at those who don't. On the other hand, I do think it's important to point out when people are caving or raving that they are wrong in doing so, and that more than ever, we need the clear Christian voice, unvarnished and unapologetic.
In chapter 3, you actually talk about being served. You talk about the cancel culture and what it is, and I like the fact that you have some analogy for the cancel culture. On the one hand, people talk about the French Revolution and its comparison to what's happening in America today. On the other hand, you define this as more of a virus than a revolution.
Mm-hmm. A virus doesn't have a central organizing body the way most revolutions do. I see a lot of parallels between what we see today and the French Revolution. Certainly, the unreasonableness of it, the violence of it, the bitterness that gets translated into social action, that's true. But a virus is more something that spreads from person to person. Let me give an example, Hank. I've read different accounts of the Salem witchcraft trials. And one common element I see in all of the descriptions is the viral nature of these lies the girls were telling. A girl would hear another girl say, ooh, I saw Goody Proctor with the devil. Did you? Oh, yeah, sure I did. Did you? Oh, yeah, I saw her too. Oh, we all saw Goody Proctor with the devil. And you basically send that through the echo chamber, and person after person is realizing, hey, it's kind of cool, and it's expected of me to say, I saw Goody Proctor with the devil. So that's what we say. And a lot of attention came with that. Of course, these girls got a lot of status for being the witch identifiers. And so even though lives were destroyed because of these lies, that virus, that madness spread among them. Now today, people are, I think, being infected with this virus that basically says, if people hold to the traditional views of marriage and family and social justice and salvation, they are hateful people. And when people hear that repeated by different people, they catch the virus and say, oh, yeah, me too. I also believe that these people who hold these views are hateful and they must be silenced for the good of the culture. And face it, that kind of makes you feel virtuous. If you are one of those who is saying there is a holy cause that I need to be a part of to stamp out intolerance and hatred, therefore I'm in, you sort of feel that pumped feeling of the righteous crusader. Now, in this age of, what else can you call it, Hank, but intellectual laziness, when people don't check things out, they hear something and it appeals to a need they have to get involved. So rather than check out the merits of the claims, they just jump on the bandwagon. And as a result, I think we have a lot of people who are very committed to cancel culture, the woke movement, the social justice warrior movement, extreme groups like Black Lives Matter, Antifa. All of these are basically symptoms of this virus, which people are being infected to think they must take action at any cost to silence people who hold unacceptable viewpoints. I got to say, in our nation, this is something fairly new, and I don't think we were well prepared for it, but, you know, here it is.
You've pointed out that the cancel culture is not easily defined, so you've characterized it in a sense. But you've also noted that today it's so dangerous because it wields the force of academia, social media, journalism, entertainment, public rioting, corporate influence, political leadership. So you have all of these forces that are arrayed to bring people in line. There's a potency to the cancel culture that is actually draconian.
Mm-hmm. It is, because it relies on intimidation tactics. Look, when one group publicly attacks another group by silencing them, rioting against them, basically trashing them, that not only limits the ability of that group to speak, it also sends notice to all the other groups. You're next if you hold the same views this group holds. And this is exactly why I think a lot of people, Hank, in our nation and in other nations as well, are not speaking out against cancel culture, not because they agree with it, but because they're afraid of what it could do to them. And as a result, a lot of people are simply allowing cancel culture to attack certain groups, the idea being, if I don't say anything, they will leave us alone. So you've got that sort of cliche. People say that the tragedy happens when one third of the population is oppressing another third of the population and the other third of the population does nothing. Well, that's how tyranny wins. And I think that is what we're seeing in this whole new modern version of tyranny.
Talk about the horror of 2020, not so much about the incidents themselves, but there's something more sinister going on behind the incidents. In other words, there's institutional approval of wicked evils. And all of this is being repurposed or reinterpreted as peaceful. All of this is violence in the name of quote-unquote social justice.
Hank, I'm glad you asked that. I sat in front of the television with my jaw dropping to the floor when I saw the rioting, the vandalism, the takeover of cities. Not because I was so astonished at violence. I mean, we've all seen examples of violence. But what horrified me was the unwillingness of local governments, local agencies that should have been enforcing the law, leaders who should have been enforcing the law. What was horrifying was to see them just stand there. In many cases, not only just standing there, but saying, that's good, I applaud that. And then even if they applauded it, they pretended that it was something other than what it was. So you would see a city, for example, taken over, and you would see a mayor say, oh, well, it looks like they're going to have a summer of love. For heaven's sake, the city was taken over. People were virtual hostages in their own homes. That's not a summer of love. And yet, politician after politician, talking head after talking head, community leader after community leader said, these protests are peaceful, even as the buildings are burning, even as the citizens are terrorized and in many cases assaulted. These protests are peaceful. The cause is just. There's nothing wrong with this. And you conservatives are making a big deal out of nothing. Now, this to me, Hank, is reminiscent of the way Hitler's regime took over in Germany, not only did they begin openly persecuting Jewish people, but when Jewish people objected, why, the powers that be in the Nazi propaganda machine would say, oh, Jewish hysteria again. My goodness, these people overact. They cry persecution at the drop of a hat. And this was being done even as Jewish people were being beaten and denigrated in the streets.
We've run out of time for today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Be sure to tune in again next time when we'll continue Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Joe Dallas, author of the new book, Christians in a Cancel Culture, Speaking with Truth and Grace in a Hostile World. Our firm commitment here at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. In appreciation for your vital gift to help strengthen and expand CRI's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches, Hank would like to send you Joe Dallas's book, Christians in a Cancel Culture, Speaking with Truth and Grace in a Hostile World. Call a resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit our website, equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.